for knowledge beyond dreams. Discover That's the Way Love Goes, a collection of short stories by Mark Marcus. Go to thatsthewaylovegoes.net and let the dreams begin.
Most of us take for granted that we can instantly recognize people we know by looking at their faces. It's so automatic, it almost sounds silly to even say it. Friends can put on a hat, cut their hair, and still we know them by their face. We can do this for thousands upon thousands of faces without ever giving it a moment's thought. But imagine for a second what life would be like if you couldn't. If your wife or husband looked like a stranger. You couldn't tell your kids apart, couldn't recognize yourself in a mirror. Well, that's what life is like for people who suffer from a mysterious condition called face blindness or prosopagnosia that can make it nearly impossible to recognize or identify faces. If you've never heard of face blindness, you're not alone. Chances are your doctor hasn't either. It's been unknown to most of the medical world until very recently. Hearing about it can feel a little like entering the twilight zone, but for people who are face blind, the condition is very real. Jacob Hodes is one of them. He's 31 years old, he has a college degree, has had great jobs, and he seems perfectly normal. Just don't ask him to identify any faces.
We're going to put up the first one.
Even very famous ones.
No idea.
We showed Jacob faces without hair. A pure test of facial recognition.
No. Nope. Can't say if I've ever seen that person.
He has seen Jimmy Carter plenty of times. And knows Michael Jordan, too.
Oh, Lord.
He just can't recognize their faces.
Now, that's just impossible. I mean, who...
Can you describe my face? You're staring right at it.
High cheekbones... light eyes.
Clearly, Jacob could see my face, but he says if we happened to run into each other in a few days, he wouldn't know me from any other woman with short blonde hair.
They meet somebody, they have a good time with them, they have a nice relationship, then a week later they walk past them.
Brad Duchesne is a professor at Dartmouth College who's been studying face blindness for nearly 15 years. He says the hardest thing to understand is how people can see a familiar face but not recognize it. So he created a demonstration to give me a little taste. Faces turned upside down.
So here are some famous faces. You're going to be tempted to twist your head, but don't do it.
Okay.
Now, wait, can you identify
hard.
Any of these people?
I was completely at a loss.
You think I'd know all of these people?
You've seen them all a lot.
I don't know any of these people. I really don't.
You want to see him upright?
Sure.
It was astonishing. With just that click, they became recognizable people before my eyes.
I know John Travolta. I know Morley.
And there was Denzel Washington, Jennifer Aniston, Sandra Bullock. But the one that really got me was the young woman on the lower right, my daughter.
I didn't know my own daughter.
Yeah.
I didn't know my own daughter.
So there she is.
So is this, am I getting a feeling for what people with face blindness have?
This is, when you look at that, there's clearly, there's a face there.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are parts, there are eyes, there's mouth, but you just can't put it together.
Wow. That's stunning. I feel terrible for them now.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
And largely unknown. Prosopagnosia only got its name in the 1940s when a couple of soldiers came back from World War II with head injuries and couldn't recognize their wife or parents. And it took another 50 years for science to discover that people could be born face blind, like Jacob Hodes. And Joe Livingston, a retired teacher. Ben Dabrowski, a software products designer. And Meg Novotny, a doctor.
If I were your patient... you'd spent a long time with me discussing a problem. I come back the next time.
Oh, no. You walk out to the window at the front and start checking out, and I walk out of the room, and I don't know who you are.
Come on.
She relies on patient charts, she told us. But there aren't any of those in Ben's office, where lunch in the cafeteria can be tricky.
And, sitting down at lunch, having a discussion with someone about one of my projects, and the guy across the table gets up from lunch and says, God, that's really interesting. When you have that meeting, can you invite me? Thanks. See ya. Who is it? I don't know.
Who is it?
I have no idea.
Is it a memory issue? What is it?
The memory's never created.
The face doesn't get put.
It doesn't get filed.
So they have to rely on other strategies to identify people. Hair, body shape, the way people walk, their voice, even style of dress. But Jacob told us that it can all fall apart when someone changes their hair, like a colleague named Sylvia, who he couldn't find one day until she started putting her hair into her usual ponytail.
And she, like, put it into the ponytail, and once it was in place, that was Sylvia. It clicked. Then she took her hair back out of that ponytail.
And right then and there?
Yep. She just put it in and then took it out.
So she went from Sylvia, not Sylvia, Sylvia, not Sylvia?
She disappeared.
Come on.
Yeah.
To him, it was as though her face had changed into someone else's before his eyes.
So now I'm confronted with the situation that got weird, because I knew this person was Sylvia, but it didn't feel like Sylvia.
Faces mean so much to us. Identity, beauty, character, a place to hang all our memories about a person. Faces have captivated artists forever, so it may surprise you to learn that the man who painted these faces, renowned portraitist Chuck Close, is also face blind, and severely so.
Let's say you went out to have dinner with somebody, and then you saw her the next day.
Wouldn't remember.
And yet he has spent his career, even after a collapsed spinal artery left him mostly paralyzed, painting, well...
faces.
Yes.
Chuck Close has face blindness, and he paints faces.
Right. The reason I think I was driven to it was to take images of people that matter to me and commit them to memory in the best way I can, which is to slow the whole process down, break it down into lots of little memorable pieces...
which is exactly how he creates these works. He can't make sense of a whole face, so he works from a photograph with a grid on it and translates what he sees square by square onto his canvas.
Well, guess what we've done?
I don't know.
We've put together a quiz for you.
We brought some of our famous faces along to show him.
From the chin, I think it's Leno.
And we're surprised that he did pretty darn well.
Well, from the lips, I think it's Tiger Woods.
Yeah, well, you're pretty good.
But, of course, not perfect.
I don't have a clue.
That's Tom Cruise.
Right now, my guts are tied in knots, because this very activity is the thing that makes me most nervous. Oh, now I have to figure out who this person is.
Because he isn't recognizing these faces the way most of us do. Every face is a puzzle he has to solve.
What I'm thinking, you don't see too many people with just a mustache anymore. So that means it's probably somebody who's not alive. So if it's an African American of a certain age with a mustache, it might be Martin Luther King.
You're amazing. You deduce, deduce, deduce. You're like Sherlock Holmes here.
Yeah, this is how I get through life.
Of course, he knew we were showing him famous faces. With our group, we threw in a trick one, a photo of Joe's daughter.
Does anybody know who that is?
No way.
No. Joe, work on it, because it's somebody that Joe knows.
Well, it may be, but nothing's coming.
It's someone in your family.
But still she didn't get it.
It's your daughter. Now can you see it? Is it clear now?
It is believable now.
We were baffled that a condition so extreme it could keep people from recognizing their own children could have been almost completely unknown until very recently.
World-renowned neurologist and writer, Dr. Oliver Sacks.
We asked Dr. Oliver Sacks, the famous chronicler of fascinating and bizarre neurological conditions, who wrote about face blindness in his latest book, The Mind's Eye.
It is with our faces that we face the world.
How do you explain that the medical world did not identify this problem?
It is not usually a complaint of people. People do not bring it up. many people who are colorblind do not know of it until they take an army medical. One sort of assumes that other people are the way one is.
It never, ever, ever in my life occurred to me that people would look at a face and just get it like that.
I believe that I was not good with people. But I have no idea of the reason. I just thought I was stupid.
Joe only learned there was such a thing as face blindness when she stumbled across this article and came in to be tested in Duchenne's lab. A few hours after her second visit, in a bizarre coincidence, she and Duchenne ended up attending the same event.
I kept placing my face in a position where she could see it.
I realized that one of the group was staring at me in a way that people don't normally.
And so finally, at one point I said, do you know who I am?
Ah.
And she put it all together.
Duchenne had seen face blindness in action. Joe had seen the misconnections of her life.
If that had been anybody else, they would have been presumably furious, would not have spoken to me, and would probably never have spoken to me again. But I would never have known they were there.
Yeah.
It made me realize, how many times have I done this?
Right. Yeah. How many friends have you offended? Mm. How many people aren't talking to you, and you don't know why?
And we'll never know.
Yeah.
People do think you may be snubbing them or stupid or mad or inattentive. That's why it's so important to recognize what one has and to admit it.
Which is exactly what Sachs himself has just done, written about the fact that he, too, is face blind.
I have had difficulty recognizing faces for as long as I can remember. My problem extends not only to my nearest and dearest, but also to myself.
I've sometimes had the experience of apologizing to someone and realizing it's a mirror.
No.
I have indeed.
No. Because you didn't know it was you?
I could see that it was a large, clumsy man with a beard. Now, I've now found a way of dealing with this. I have one special feature. I have rather large ears. And if the large, clumsy man with a beard has extra large ears, it's probably me.
I shouldn't be smiling, but it's funny.
Oh, well, it is fair. I mean, these things are both comic and serious.
And surprisingly common. Recent studies show as many as 1 in 50 people may be face blind. And the search is on for clues inside their brains. We'll show you what the research is finding, plus, would you believe, super recognizers.
I would say Mike Wallace.
That is Mike Wallace,
who never forget a face.
I don't even know how to get rid of people.
When we come back. No one knows what causes lifelong face blindness. It was discovered so recently, scientists are just beginning to unravel its secrets. And some of the clues are coming from people who once had normal face recognition, but lost it after suffering damage to part of the brain. And in an interesting twist, those people are also offering insight into the way the rest of us recognize faces. Imagine waking up after a trauma and not being able to recognize the people closest to you. That's what happened to Colleen Castaldo.
Up until the fall of 2009, mm-hmm. Did you have any trouble recognizing faces at all?
No, not at all.
Like everybody else.
Like everybody else, yeah.
That all changed late one night when Colleen had a seizure and was rushed to the hospital. Her doctors found a brain tumor and did surgery to remove it. But as she recovered, she started noticing that something wasn't right.
The nurses. I thought that I was meeting them each for the first time. And then I would, listen to them and think, I don't know, they were acting like they knew me already.
Oh, disorienting. And,
she figured it was the medication until her close friend Doreen came to visit wearing white. And Colleen assumed she was part of the medical staff.
I looked at her, smiled, and I turned back to my husband and started to talk to him. And he stood up and said, Doreen. And I looked, I thought, Doreen? And then it hit me. I knew right then and there this is the problem I had been having.
Faces.
Faces.
Now, even faces she knew well before.
No.
Okay, well, that's George Clooney.
Oh, wow. No, I wouldn't know that.
Are a mystery to her.
No, I don't know who that is. Who is it?
The president.
So this is the right hemisphere here.
Brad Duchenne showed me an MRI scan of Colleen's brain.
Is that a hole in her brain?
That's right. It's in the right temporal lobe.
So back here.
That's right.
And the location of that hole where the tumor had been was a clue. If removing that area caused the loss of face recognition, could that be where all our brains process faces? It turns out that neuroscientists have been trying to figure out how it is that our brains recognize faces for decades.
Face recognition is a very difficult problem because all faces are basically the same.
MIT neuroscientist Nancy Kanwisher.
There are these two roundish things here. There's this thing there. There's this thing there. They're all the same. And so discriminating one face from another is a very computationally difficult thing because it's those subtle differences in the same basic structure that distinguish one thing from another.
And it is exactly those subtle differences face-blind people like Joe Livingston miss.
I could describe anything that I can put into words. Eye color, general overall shape, whether your ears stick out. But those things would bring it down, perhaps from the population of the world, to a few million.
So she could say this person has dark eyes, high cheekbones, an oval face, which would allow Joe to distinguish her from this person. But this face and this face? Impossible.
I can say what I can see, but I cannot say the micro measurements that are what tell a normal person that it's you and not somebody of the same specification.
But how is it that the rest of us can perceive these two people as distinct individuals despite the similarities? An important clue comes from what we can't distinguish. As we saw earlier, faces upside down. Like these two Duchenne showed me, which looked very similar.
Maybe you don't even see that there's any difference between...
I see something different in the lower lip. Eyes are a little different under the eyes.
The eyes are a little different. But then if I show them to you upright... So here's the one that you saw on the left there. Mm-hmm. Looks perfectly normal. And then here's the one you saw on the right. You saw upside
down. Oh, my goodness.
Down.
The eyes and mouth in the photo on the right had been turned upside down.
And now the face looks really grotesque.
Yeah. But upside down.
Upside down, it's really hard to see that.
If you look at a face upside down, you're very bad at recognizing it. If you look at a word or an object or a scene, you can recognize it fine upside down.
So what did that tell you?
It tells you that there's something very special about face recognition. It works in a very different way from recognition of everything else.
And that got Kanwisher wondering if there might be a part of the brain responsible just for seeing faces. She started putting people with normal face recognition into MRI scanners and watching what happens in their brains as they looked at different images.
Is this what she's seeing?
This is what she's seeing.
She's seeing faces.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now she's seeing objects because we want to know not just what parts of the brain are active when you see faces, but what parts are more active when you see faces than when you see objects.
Kanwisher discovered that there was indeed a place in the brain that becomes very active when we look at faces.
And in every subject, boom, there was this nice big response there. It was very exciting.
And it was right in the same area where Colleen's tumor had been. It's called the fusiform face area. So could that be what's missing in people with lifelong face blindness, like Jacob Hodes? Kanwisher put him in the scanner to find out.
I really did not expect to see a fusiform face area.
So you thought there'd be nothing there, like as if...
Yeah.
Instead of having a bullet go through it, he was just born without it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And he looked at the data, and his face area was beautiful. It's textbook.
So sit here.
She scanned Joe, Ben, and Meg as well, and they had fusiform face areas too.
So what does that say to you?
It tells us that the problem is not that this thing doesn't exist. There it is. But see, that's the fun of science. It's fun to be told you're just completely and totally wrong. Because now you have to go back and, you know, think anew.
And one thing she and other researchers are thinking about is a phenomenon as mystifying as face blindness.
Thank you. Have a good day.
It's polar opposite. Super recognizers like Jennifer Jarrett, who say they recognize almost every face they have ever seen.
Waiters?
Yes.
Salespeople?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
Like, of course.
Yes. I'll be walking down the street, and I'll see someone, and I'll think, oh, retail. And then I'll remember, oh, okay, that person works at whatever store, and that's where they used to work at that store 10 years ago. And then I remember.
10 years ago?
Yes, yes.
So it doesn't matter how far back you saw these people. So as long as you look at a person and take notice, they're in there.
I don't even know how to get rid of people.
Only a handful of super recognizers have been discovered so far, and Duchenne and his colleagues had to come up with a whole new way to test them.
So here are three faces here, which you're familiar with.
I am?
It's called the Before They Were Famous test, because super recognizers can also recognize faces as they change through time.
Does that help at all?
He no longer has hair.
That's Dick Cheney.
Oh, my God. That's Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
He told me the top right was Richard Gere, and the bottom, Nancy Pelosi.
Those three people have changed dramatically.
He even gave me a hint with this one. He's now an actor.
And I'm supposed to know this actor?
Clearly, I am not a super recognizer.
That's George Clooney.
Man. And these super recognizers just know this.
The supers are really good at recognizing these faces.
George Clooney.
How could you tell I was George Clooney?
It just looked like George Clooney to me. Isn't it? Oh, Prince Charles. Oh, Madonna. Michael Jordan. Oh, that's Cato Kaelin.
The O.J. Simpson trial. Wow, you are good.
But we thought we had finally stumped her with this one. She said she only had a guess.
If I were to guess, I would say Mike Wallace.
That is Mike Wallace.
She recognized Mike Wallace as a six-year-old.
I don't even understand how you do that. I can't fathom it.
As people age, I guess the aging process somehow in my brain just seems very sort of superficial. And, you know, as if someone gets a haircut, you can still recognize them. Still the same face to me. It's just the adult version.
So why is 60 years like a haircut to her, while face-blind people can't recognize someone they just saw? A team of scientists at Harvard has begun scanning the brains of super recognizers, too, to see if they might yield any clues. The science of facial recognition is in its infancy, but new discoveries can't come fast enough for one last person we'd like you to meet, 13-year-old Tim McDonough from Boston, who is severely face-blind.
So can you describe what it feels like? When someone comes up, you know you're supposed to know who they are.
I usually just say, you know, hi, nice to see you.
So you sometimes pretend.
Yeah.
You fake it.
I fake it, yeah.
So you think it's not your mom?
Yeah.
Okay. So that actually was your mom.
Tim is working with the Harvard team to see if they can help him learn to recognize his mother's face.
Now, is this one your mom or not? So we could start at the top. We could do eyebrows. Eyes, nose, you could even use the cheeks there.
It's part of a pilot program to see if face blindness might someday be treatable.
This one's a little bit harder.
So far, it's not.
Oh, no. I just hope that nobody tries to talk to me, because if they do, they...
They want to talk about something you've done with them.
Yeah.
Or something.
And I don't know who they are.
So it must be really hard to make friends.
It is, yeah. It takes me a while to make friends.
It turns out making friends can be tricky at both ends of the face recognition spectrum. Super recognizers can seem like stalkers.
I would see someone, you know, weeks or months later at a party, and people would say, oh, do you know each other? And I'd say yes, and the other person would say no. And I'd say, no, don't you remember the first week of classes? You were walking to English class with someone, and people would look at me really strangely and sort of uncomfortably, I think, a lot.
Jennifer says she's now learned to take cues from others, ironically, just as face-blind people do.
I'll play this eye contact game where I'll wait. I'm not going to really look at you, but I'll wait to see if you look at me, and then, oh, you look at me, hi.
So you're always waiting for a cue from them.
Yeah, so I'll hang back a little bit, which I don't want to do.
In any social situation, are you always a little anxious?
I'm more than a little anxious, and I tend to keep my mouth closed before I make some awful blunder. Of course, another tactic or strategy is to smile at everybody.
That's what Chuck Close told us he does.
You have to be really charming. If you are going to insult them by not remembering them, you just have to be extremely charming so that people don't hold this stuff against you.
Do you feel now that you're missing out on something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I notice a loss. I understand someone by an abstraction. I put together a set of information that to me means mother or means Leslie.
But it's not a visualization
of
a face.
And the question, the thing that I wonder next, you know, is how does it affect even things like love?
How does it?
When people talk about love, they say, I carry the person with me. I carry their image with me. I don't carry their image. Does that mean I experience it differently? And how would I ever know? I don't know.
There's a long tail of stuff that happens that you're missing, connections you're not making.
Still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least now we understand why.
Yeah,
right.
And it's therapeutic, but it doesn't fix it.